Did you know on the 30th of November there's some changes happening to Queensland's guardianship system? We'll talk about that in just a moment. But first of all, welcome criminal law specialist Bill Potts and succession and elder law specialist Christine Smythe. Hello.
Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Lovely to see you face to face. Christine, let's dig into guardianship changes.
Sure.
What do we need to know about the rules that are changing at the end of this month?
Too much for this segment. There are a lot of changes. The biggest changes are to the forms. We are getting new forms. They're bigger, they're bulkier, they've got a lot more information. One of the key factors that listeners need to be concerned about is they've now built into the legislation a presumption of capacity. And what that means is that when an application goes to the court must presume that the person has capacity. So in effect, the only entity that can identify whether or not you have capacity is not your doctor, it's not your lawyer, but the court. And that's a big clarification. It's always been the case, but people have always thought, oh, I've got this medical certificate, and the medical certificate says Auntie Jen hasn't got capacity, so therefore she hasn't got capacity. Well, only a court can confirm that.
Okay. So this is for, so guardianship in, could you explain the instances and when in which this guardianship comes into play?
Okay, so we have the ability to make legal decisions for ourselves, and the law says that we can appoint someone else to make those legal decisions for us if certain circumstances are satisfied. One of those circumstances is our loss of capacity to make decisions. And as we get older, not only do we get fatter, we also lose our capacity to make decisions for ourselves. And there are different tests for capacity depending on the decision-making process.
So we have to foresee our loss of capacity at
yes.
a later date, and while we have capacity, make decisions about who shall act in our stead.
And if we don't, then we're giving the government the power to make that decision for us.
But there's a lot of complications arising around powers of attorney, because a power of attorney is the capacity for someone to appoint someone to act in their stead if they lose capacity, if they for various reasons. And there are real complications for real people in both giving them and accepting them. Maybe that's something that
yes.
we can talk about.
Yes, one of the opportunities the government absolutely missed on this is about if you're going to make a power of attorney, they want you to think about your legal rights and obligations and get advice. But to accept a power of attorney, there's no obligation to get legal advice before you accept it. And there are significant liabilities that you can be exposed to when you act as someone's power of attorney. And your personal assets can be at risk if you get it wrong.
Oh, ouch.
Mm, yeah.
That's concerning.
So everyone always focuses on the rights of the person making the attorney, but if you make a mistake, whether it's innocent or not, you are in fact risking your own assets, your own affairs in making that decision.
So the best advice people can get is, even though they might think they're helping out their neighbour, their friend, their relative, think and get real advice as to not only the rights but also the responsibilities in accepting these types of things.
I'll give you a very simple example of how that can happen. So Auntie Mary may live in her own house, but she can no longer drive and she needs to get to medical appointments. You're her attorney. You need to get Auntie Mary to the doctors. You don't have a car, but Auntie Mary has a car. She can't use it. So you decide that you'll use Auntie Mary's car to drive her around. And because you're driving Auntie Mary around all the time, you may as well keep the car and use it for yourself. Well, you can't do that unless it specifically is contemplated in the attorney. If it's not specifically contemplated and written down, you can't do that because it's considered a conflict transaction.
Okay, all right. Things which seem simple on the outside
yeah.
may not actually be.
No.
And lots of advice required. If people already have an existing order that
power,
that
of attorney,
power of attorney that takes this into account, does anything change with existing arrangements, or is it... or is it only for new arrangements that are being made?
Generally, no. There are some limitations. The legislation says that you can. There's a maximum number of attorneys that you can appoint. So now you can only appoint up to four, where there was before no limit on that. So that might have an impact if you've got more than four. Why you would have more than four, I'm not sure.
Because you've got five kids, maybe?
Yeah.
You want them all to argue about what should happen?
Yes, yes. And in my experience, they argue like they were toddlers just as much, whether they were six or 60. So that's a significant difference. There's another difference in terms of the law of redemption, and that's a complex thing. Basically, if you make out your will and you decide to give your house to someone, but the house has to be sold so that you can go into care, there were some complications previously as to whether or not that person gets a gift under the will. That's called the law of redemption. They've clarified that and they've included what we call tracing provisions. So if the house does get sold and is converted to cash, that cash can be considered the gift in substitution. So a couple of those more sort of very technical aspects. They've made some changes to the whistleblowing aspect of powers of attorneys. So, for example, under the legislation, it is an offence to disclose the personal information of someone who doesn't have capacity. So that's always been a bit of a barrier to pursuing elder abuse issues. So now they've loosened up those disclosure laws in circumstances where you're looking to make a report about someone's affairs being mismanaged.
Thank you so much for joining us once again. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
Thank you.
Here in the studio, Bill Potts and Christine Smythe, both past presidents of the Queensland Law Society. Bill Potts, a criminal law specialist, and Christine Smythe, a specialist in succession and elder law.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.